Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Well, let's turn on the lights and take a look into the chambers of their imagery, exposing the emerging degeneracy that has been growing like mold in the darkness in this country, hidden behind a veneer of political correctness, posing as civilization. And the corresponding corruption of conservatism that's taking place right along with that. And then how these things play into the ongoing secret war with the powers working through China, Russia, and Iran. You know, with their operatives planted deep into our government. It's going to be an invigorating and deep massage. So get ready. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
I've been saying for a long while that we are in a time of reproving, exposure, God exposing the evil that thrives behind the mask of American culture. During a time of Judah's degeneracy, the prophets lamented, but God showed to Ezekiel what they could not see, and that they had not seen really even the half of it. He took Ezekiel on a guided tour, showing him the appalling things that were done in secret by the leadership of Judah in the chambers of their imagery. The level of degeneration that had developed was way past anything Ezekiel could have imagined. I preached from this passage and warned God would be taking America on a guided inspection of what's been going on in the secret chambers of the wicked who have taken our nation from us by force. As you hear these revelations, remember that what is emerging to the surface in our culture has been part of the dark culture of the so-called ruling elite in America and around the world for many decades. In other words, what I'm going to show you that are, things bubbling up out of the swamp, that what we're seeing that's being exposed, well, these are things routinely practiced among the filthy wicked in their secret chambers out of public view. And we can't get into all of it, of course, but please understand the level of debauchery and degradation is far worse among the bottom feeders of the swamp than what we're seeing boiling up to the surface. And finally, remember, the reason these people hide their behavior, it's simple. They know that if it was brought to light, well, they would lose their influence and so lose their power and bring judgment upon their own heads. I knew it was bad. But like Ezekiel, I did not know how corrupt our godless culture had sunk into that darkness. And for me, this all began after Lighthouse spent 40 days of prayer and fasting, actually a few years in a row, and launched spiritual assault teams and began praying fervently for God to expose the truth to the American people, specifically this bloody dark business of abortion. And not long after we began this earnest prayer and fasting, Veritas began its work, exposing or reproving the unfruitful works of darkness in that vile industry. What can be worse than an organization promoting abortions in order to harvest baby body parts for market? But it's even worse than that. Now, folks, I struggle between the maxim, the biblical maxim, that we are to, quote, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, end quote, which requires us to expose them to the light over against the warning that it is, quote, a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's impossible to not speak of their shameful behavior and at the same time bring forth evidence to convict, which is reproving, without identifying the behavior we are reproving. The qualifier here is that in reproof, we expose to the light what they do in secret within a context of rebuke or correction. Nevertheless, I think the Spirit does encourage us to exercise discretion when addressing the abominable practices of the wicked, and my policy has been to wait, watch, and pray, and when these things start bubbling up into public awareness, that's when I'll address it. Where to draw the line, you know, between reproving, which is exposing wicked behavior for rebuke, censure, shame, and correction, and shamefully speaking of the things they do in private, is rather like another biblical conundrum, where it says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." And then, in the very next verse, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits." So, you know, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. The problem with exposing the unfruitful works of darkness with sufficient clarity to reveal to the conscience the reproof of the Holy Ghost upon this world for sin, righteousness, and judgment is that some who are of delicate sensitivities recoil at the horror of what these people do, say, of abortion. And frankly, they don't want their tender souls to be troubled by images of what abortion actually looks like, or vivid descriptions of what abortion actually does to a child in the womb. In deference to the delicacies of some, myself included in time past, have allowed the heinous crime of baby slaughter to go on hidden from public view for like 50 years. But we know that when Americans know the truth or see the truth about this bloody business, well, they would, or certainly they should object to it. However, I fear we have served the interests of the delicate to the destruction of the vile, and then the corruption of the delicate. I see the corruption of the conscience of our youth. The conscience of many among our young people is now, it seems, seared. Not all, but many. And the images that horrified the delicate among us before and that barred us from speaking publicly or giving public disclosure to these truthful but horrible images, well, now those images don't disturb the conscience of our young people at all. Like it would have done had we risen up in the outrage that was due to this wicked practice. When did so many of our young people lose their conscience? While believers were sleeping. Safe within the hedge that kept that devil out of our own lives, we left those outside the hedge to be devoured by the lion that prowls about there. I think most would agree this could not have happened if it were not for the lies that were told, the darkening of minds by deceit that would have been exposed if we had been more willing to expose what abortion really is, if we had shown the American people the truth about that horror. I asked in a recent show, "Do you know what happens to a fetus during an abortion?" And I mentioned that it's scalded or burned alive in saline solution until dead, or hacked into pieces by a scalpel, or suctioned out in pieces torn apart within the womb. But that's no big deal, right? I mean, it's no different than dissolving a tumor or cutting out someone's appendix, except that the word fetus means little child. You know, like the little child in Elizabeth's womb, whom Zacharias was instructed to name John, and whom the Spirit later called the Baptist. At about 6 months or 24 to 25 weeks into the pregnancy, that baby recognized the little child, fetus, in Mary's womb that had been only recently conceived, whom she was instructed to name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. When John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb came into proximity with Jesus, the son of David, in Mary's womb, the baby Baptist leaped for joy. I'd say abortion is very different from cutting out a tumor or removing an appendix. Never known of a tumor to leap for joy at the presence of the Savior. But remember, your Montesquieu, quote, "It is not the young people that degenerate. They are not spoiled till those of mature age are already sunk into corruption," end quote. He's right. Friend, the five-year-olds are not flocking to drag queens to shove greenbacks into their underwear. Their parents are taking them to these events, providing the greenbacks and cheering them on as they participate in this lewd behavior. feeding their children to the appetites of these perverse people. So, shall we follow Ezekiel to the walls that have hidden from public view the depths of darkness into which our culture has sunk? Talking about abortion, here's a new low. There's a new trend developing among some younger couples. The plan to make a baby, because the woman enjoys being pregnant, you know, the euphoric hormone rush most experience, and the guy enjoys his gal being pregnant for various reasons that are stipulated in the story. So the pregnancy thing for the first 20 to 24 weeks is, well, all good and fun. But then it's time to abort the baby because they don't want to have to deal with raising a child or rearing a child. And then they do this again and again. It's an abortion fetish. One couple boasted they had done this 7 times already. Purposely got pregnant in order to enjoy pregnancy and then killing the baby before they would have to serve as parents. This particular couple is bragging about it and comfortable talking about it publicly. So one hearing about this wrote, "It is good and rare," quoting by the way, "it is good and rare to hear of a couple, both man and woman, where both members are into abortion and pregnancy. This is a wonderful and potent example of personal power, where sex meets violence and creation combines with destruction. Thank you for sharing your exciting romance." And he goes on to say, "I can imagine that it is a very bonding experience between you and your partner." You've got to be kidding me. Where's the barf bag? I remember when abortion was rare too. How long will it take for this to catch on? Here's a tweet complaining about the new abortion law in Iceland allowing baby murder up to 22 weeks and removing any requirements for parental consent for minors. One responded with one word, disgusting. An older guy, looks like a Muslim sheikh or something like that, not sure. The response to him came from a young female, and by young I mean early 30s or perhaps late 20s, who wrote, "Nah, delicious. 7 billion is too many. We should scoop the little," and this person used an expletive I won't repeat, used euphemistically in this case for baby or the baby's innards. "So we should scoop the baby's innards out and mail them to your kind." Real nice. Real nice. Real sweet. What a sweet and gentle soul. How low can you go? Here's a picture of an abortion activist carrying a sign that reads, "Fetus equal tasty treat." But other stuff is bubbling up, too. Here's a headline for you. Katie Porter, Democrat, California, thinks pedophilia is not a crime. It's just an identity. That's from Chicks on the Right. So I looked into it. Katie Porter, Democrat, says, quote, "The groomer narrative is an age-old lie to position LGBTQ plus people as a threat to kids," end quote. Then the fact checkers on the left corrected the headline and said, Porter wasn't saying pedophilia is not a crime. She was saying using terms like pedophile and groomer in connection with persons who are LGBTQ makes these people out to be criminals. Well, here's what she said. Quoting Katie Porter, Democrat, California, "This allegation of groomer and pedophile, it is alleging that a person is criminal somehow and engaged in criminal acts merely because of their identity," end quote. So you see, it is a bit vague. Let's give it to the fact checkers, however, and ask them to be equally fastidious when interpreting Trump's truths or tweets, okay? But here's what's not vague. Pedophilia has been tracking right along with homosexuality. At first, the language used to discuss those who engage in this perverse behavior, either physically or mentally, becomes accepting, understanding, and sympathetic. Remember those days? In Psychology Today, consider, the language with regard to pedophilia is supportive, explaining they can't help it. And it shows an openness to any science that might come along to show that it is a condition, a sort of born that way situation is being, a scenario is being constructed right now in the psychological community, which leaves it wide open for criminal psychologists like this fella, to make statements like what this fella said, quote, "Pedophilia is a sexual orientation, like being straight or gay." Oh, really? And here's an article titled, "San Diego State University Normalizes Pedophilia as a Sexual Orientation." So, excuse me if we assume Katie Porter, Democrat representative from California, is in agreement with the establishment medical community on this, as she is on all other things. Now, you'll be glad I've run out of time for this segment. No time to explain toilet slaves, oh mercy, fisting, or the furry fetish. Good night. These perversities are beginning to just crawl up out of the swamp and into public awareness. Or the adrenochrome allegations and how it's obtained by torturing children. Or the fact that our own government, along with other governments, especially in the Ukraine, are co-opted in support of sex trafficking that goes so far beyond forced prostitution and all the way into absolute enslavement to some of the most horrible abuses by adult men and with children who have weird fetishes, perverse fetishes. Why do they prey upon the children? It's perverse. And these goings-on have been going on for decades in the secret chambers of their imagery. Their idols, where they worship, and what they worship, the gender-blended goat man with cherub wings holding a little boy and a little girl in its arms. This is their god, and this is their worship. It's getting exposed. All right, more on this later. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, last segment was pretty rough. But like I told my son since he was about 5 years old, we can move forward to a solution for anything, any problem we face, if we begin with the truth. But until we get the truth, we really can't get anywhere. Yeah, I warned you it would be a deep massage. Now, let's take a look at what's happening to conservatism. Conservatism has been about conserving our American traditional values and beliefs until lately. Now conservatism seems to be about winning elections for Republicans. Joe Watson runs a site called Summit News. I only have one video to use as a reference for any evaluation, but he seems to be a pretty sharp young man. He also models, interestingly, what he complains against, but doesn't realize it. It's interesting for me to watch. In truth, it depends on where you enter into the debate about what defines conservatism. Or what does conservatism seek to conserve? This young man, comes in a bit later than I do. So, understandably, he has a different starting place for assessing what conservatism seeks to conserve. Get it? Got it? Good. He sounded an alarm on the corruption of conservatism, asking conservatives today to reflect on what exactly is it that you're trying to conserve. I've spoken to this often over the years. If conservatism begins embracing social progressive ideals and values, they'll lose their soul. If they capitulate to social progressivism, they will simply become an engine driving our culture to the same hell that the progressives are pulling us toward. Let's hitch to the same yoke and pull this wagon right straight for hell. God will drop conservatives into hell just as fast as he will drop progressives. And like Newton helped us understand, 100 pounds of featherweight progressives will hit hell with the same velocity as 100 pounds of rock-headed conservatives. Now, we're seeing a trend that I anticipated some years ago toward a distinction between or within conservatives, and that would be Christian conservatives. I have often complained about conservatives, those who call themselves conservative but are actually running a con job on grassroots, God and country, let's say, God and gun-clinging despicables. Here's where we're headed, and we'll start light here. Here's a tweet from a conservative. Quote, "You don't have to be Christian to be conservative," end quote. Okay. Well, this nation was founded on Christian ideals and perspectives. Our founders repeatedly warned against allowing people to rule this nation who were not godly Christians, with Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, warning about the dangers of putting our God-endowed liberties into the hands of God deniers. But, okay, you begin to see what I mean about answering the question, what do conservatives seek to conserve, depends on where you stepped into the movement, if you will. This tweet goes on, quote, "You don't have to be pro-life to be conservative," end quote, really. Well, it just happens to be the fact that the Republican platform, if you regard them as the conservatives, has consistently included a pro-life plank. So, I guess if the Republicans can ignore their own platform, you're right. But you see, again, it depends on when you stepped into this battle between conservative and what is called liberal, or now progressives. Because back in the day, we universally accepted the notion that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, what was that? Life? A fundamental right of all who are created by God? We have always referred to a pregnant woman as with child. And in our culture, historically, we have viewed this issue of procreation as something ordained and beautifully constructed by God. But you're right. Today, what passes for conservative includes people who are okay with murdering a baby in the womb. Maybe, but not all the way to term, you know, because somehow in the gestation, the baby takes on a right to life somewhere in the process, but no con man conservative knows exactly when, so let's pick a week. The tweet goes on, and for sake of time, I'll have to skip forward a little bit. You don't have to be straight to be conservative. Well, several so-called conservatives recently voted to repeal DOMA and put in its place a bill that destroys the meaning of marriage and is actually contrary to the laws of our land. I mean, passing a bill like this, because our laws leave marriage as something to the states. So the bill is unconstitutional in the face of it. Thank you, Andy Caldwell, for bringing that out. But that's another thing the so-called conservatives have decided not to, well, conserve. So you could be a conservative, but not conserve marriage in its traditional meaning. And by traditional, I mean millennia, thousands of years of meaning dismissed by so-called conservatives. So really, what are you conserving? Not traditional values, that's for sure. This fellow finishes by saying, quote, "You don't have to be traditional to be conservative," end quote, really. Well, he finished it off right there, didn't he? By essentially saying conservatism means nothing because it's really not about conserving anything. If conservatism has become nothing more to you than about conserving your political power and doing that by promising a better economy than the other guy, well, maybe it's time for you to get a different name. Because it has traditionally meant you're holding to our traditional American values and mores. At least that's what it used to mean. Now, we are treated with a young person who tweets the following, quote, "Hello, my fellow conservative people. Now, let me explain how being a liberal makes you conservative," end quote. Excuse me? Or how about this meme posted by another youngin? And again, by youngin, I'm not talking about little children. I mean, people say 20 to 30, in their 20s and 30s. But this meme features a chick in a rainbow top with this statement, "Why, yes, I'm pro-choice," followed by a large X next to a baby's face. Huh, not sure what that means. And then, quote, "Why, yes, I support LGBT. And then, why, yes, I do smoke weed. And then, why, yes, I am an atheist." And then concludes with, "That's right, I am a conservative." I don't know which of those values became conservative values. All of a sudden, conservatism, without a moral foundation set upon the rock which is Christ, is king, will, like castles made of sand, be destroyed at the blast of his judgment. I don't know, perhaps America needs Jonah's message. Yet 40 days and America will be destroyed? I've come to the end of my time and did not get to discuss the secret war. So I'm going to address that, Lord willing, during our Saturday evening visit. Merry Christmas, my dear friends. I have a present for you. Go to www.brainmassage.net and find Video Gallery in the menu. click on that, you'll find a link to a special Christmas message which explains why Christmas truly is Christian. And I think you should go Merry Christmasing all over town. And I think those who react negatively with an attitude that maybe you should just say, okay, I'm sorry, I'll take my Merry Christmas back. I don't want you to have a Merry Christmas. Anyway, come on by Sunday 9:30 for my Bible study, 10:45 for my Christmas message, and then Sunday night for an inspiring, uplifting Bible message that, well, that matters. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on, email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button, send me an email. You can leave me a message on our listener response hotline by dialing 1-805-314-2114. That number for our locals is 314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I will see you in church.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Choose wisely. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.